I literally felt like one of those like clown cars, right? Where there's like 200 people piling out of it. That was a bunch of kids that just left. Holy cow. Y'all been busy during the pandemic. All right. So 7 years, right? I mean, and I was thinking back, this wasn't supposed to happen. Like, this is not what was supposed to be, at least in my mind. 7 years ago, I left the church I was at, and I was honestly done with church, right? I didn't want to pastor anymore. I didn't want to work in a church setting anymore. My heart was in missions. Beth's heart was in missions. And so we just had been praying about it and just felt like, you know what? Our season of life that we had put in the church was over. And now we were going to start this mission organization and do some things. And so I let God know that, right? And he just kind of chuckled. And so here we are 7 years later, a reluctant pastor at an accidental church plant. I mean, that's the best way that we can be described at times. And we've had an absolutely incredible 7 years. In a lot of ways, we are that mission organization that God had planted a seed in mine and Beth's heart and so many others 7 years ago. The things that we were done, I asked Kim this past week, I was like, can you just give me some stats? Because it seems like we're in so many things, you know, and life just gets busy. I don't necessarily always keep all the facts and figures in front of me, but thank God we have someone like Kim Bennett that does, right? And she's been able to kind of keep us on track with finances and numbers and all that kind of stuff for the last 7 years. And so I said, Kim, can you just give me some numbers so I just can kind of start thinking about truly like what we've been able to accomplish, what God has done through Re3. And I'm telling you, like the numbers she sent me, I had to do a double take because I didn't really believe them. You heard her in her video, 73 different organizations, nonprofits, missionaries that we've supported in 7 years. 73 different people and organizations that you guys were able to support because you supported Re3. We went on 33 mission trips in 7 years. That's a lot. We have given away, out of all the money that's come into Re3 in the last 7 years, we've given away 57% of it to missions. And that sounds like a lot, right? Let me just put it, that equals $733,000 we have given to missions in 7 years. And all of this from a church that has never averaged more than 120 people in a worship gathering, right? If that don't tell you how great our God is, what we have learned over the last 7 years, it is not the size of the church, it is the size of the God in the church. That we can show up every week, what most people would just drive by and see as this little small community church, and we can show up believing and knowing that God is doing great things through Project Re3. Lives that we'll never know, people that we'll never meet this side of heaven, have been touched because of your generosity, because of your willingness to serve, because it's contagious. It's hard to walk in here and not want to serve. We don't guilt people into it. We don't beg you to do it. We don't pass around sign-up lists. It's, you know, you just walk in and you're like, everyone else is doing it. I might as well too, right? And that's the way it should be. That's what churches should look like. And you heard in the videos over and over, you heard people say, it was missions that attracted me to Project Re3. And I think that's true. I think for a lot of people, it is that we are this missional community, that we are actually believing that we are the hands and feet of God, that we believe that God is our directive is not to be where we gather, but where we scatter. Where we go, that is where the church is. And I think that's what attracts people here initially. Unless you're Kim, and then it's just a mile down the road, and it works, right? But other than that, it's like you're drawn to like, I want to be a part of a movement. I want to be part of a church that's actually doing something, that's living out the gospel. I think that might be truly what attracts people here, most people, but it's not what keeps people here. It just isn't. I mean, we can call ourselves a church, and we look like a church. I mean, we have, obviously, worship services, and we have a building that used to have a steeple, right? I mean, it's like we have small group Bible studies, and we have kids programs and youth programs and fellowship events. I mean, on the surface, like, all of those things would you would describe as the American church. But there's a lot of American churches that do those exact same things that are dead or dying. And we are alive and thriving. So what is the difference? What is the secret sauce in Project Re 3 that allows such a small group of people for God to be able to use them to do such incredible things? It hit me this summer. So, you know, I don't want to tell any of y'all, like, in March, the pandemic kicked up. Everything closed down. Companies were closed. Jobs were closed. Schools were closed. And churches were closed. So we didn't meet. We didn't have church, physical church in here for 3 months. During that time, I'm not going to lie, it was kind of fun, right? Like, for me. Like, I thrive on creativity. I love to be able to roll up my sleeves and create something new and having that kind of entrepreneurial spirit. Like, I love that. So we've never been that online kind of church. We're not set up for it. It's not anything that was ever on my radar. We are using an old iPhone right now, right? To, like, show the world who we are. I mean, and that, nothing describes us more than that, right? A 5-year-old iPhone with horrible pastoring and preaching. I mean, just, it's just there, right? I mean, that's us. So the fact that Hank and Daniel and Tim and myself had to sit down and start, like, thinking, man, all right, how are we going to do church now if we can't do church in person? It was fun. It was invigorating. It was like, all right, this is something different. And so we would meet up here and we would do these worship services and I would preach to an empty room. And then we'd edit it and we'd put it out on Sundays. And you know the drill. I mean, we did this for 3 months. And then finally, we were able to start meeting again in church. And some churches met and some didn't in June. Some were just now starting to meet again, and I get that. But I was, after 3 months of doing just online stuff, even an introvert like me, I hated it. I was so ready to be around people again. I couldn't stand it. So the first chance we got, that first Sunday in June that we were able to meet, I said, I don't care if we have like 5 people here. Like, we're opening our doors and we're doing something. And I thought it was just me. And then all of a sudden that first Sunday, some people started coming in. And it was like the minute, if you guys were there, you know, the minute you started making eye contact again with other human beings that weren't on the other side of a Zoom call, all of a sudden it's like this energy came back. And even though our numbers were low those first couple of weeks, it was like there was just joy and this energy in the air. Why? Because the secret sauce in Re 3 and the secret sauce in churches that are doing something for God is relationships. It is about being here with one another. It's about worshiping shoulder to shoulder. It's about seeing each other. It's about sharing life together. That is what makes Project Re 3 special. That is what allows us to be able to do all the things that God has called us to do. Because that $733,000 that we gave away to missions, to other nonprofits, we could have a bigger building with that money. We could have more staff with that money. We could have a nicer sound system and video streaming and all of these things. But we don't. Why? Because we care about relationships more than anything else. We care about our relationship with God, and we care about drawing people into a relationship with Him. And we know the only way we can do that is if we have honest and real and transparent relationships with one another. It is all about relationships. Every single bit of it. God knew this when He created man. When He created man and He had finished everything. And you can go back in Genesis and read the first couple of chapters. And you know all the stuff God was creating. When He finished everything and He looked at Adam, what did He say in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18? He said, it is not good for man to be what? Alone. God knew this. He knew this from the beginning. We are not made to be alone. We are not isolated creatures. We are here for community. We are here to be with one another and to have these healthy relationships where we can love together, grow together, and journey through life together. Jesus even took this a step farther. In Matthew, Jesus was teaching. He said this in Matthew 18. He said, for where 2 or 3 gather in my name, I am there with them. Let me paraphrase what Jesus was saying. and put it in the context of Project Re3. When the right people show up for the right reason, God shows up and the right things gets done. I want you to hear that again. When the right people show up for the right reason, God shows up and the right things get done. That is why Re3 is special. We don't have perfect people. God knows that, right? Like, we still have our disagreements, our arguments. There's still, There's just this, like, constant refining process that we're going through as humans. And so we're going to have we're just not perfect. We're not the perfect church. We're not by any stretch of the imagination. But what we have is a group of people that is okay with that. It's okay to come in and argue about politics or COVID or whatever it may be, because all that matters is relationships and loving people. All that matters is getting those people into the kingdom of heaven, to get them in front of Jesus. That's it. The right people getting together for the right reason allows God to show up and do the right things. That is Project Re3. I was thinking about it this week. I'm not sure that you can ever do everything God wants you to do if you're not surrounded by the right people in your life. I think you can accomplish a little bit. You might be able to, you know, through your own blood, sweat, and tears or whatever, or kind of trudge through and maybe catch a glimpse of what God has you to do. Maybe just an inkling, just a little bit. But I don't know if we as humans, the way we have been designed by God, I'm not sure that we can ever accomplish everything God wants us to do without allowing the right people in our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says this: two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15: do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. When the right people get together for the right reasons, God shows up and the right things get done. Why? Because it is impossible for us to accomplish all that God wants us to do by ourselves. We have to have the right people. There's a story in the book of 1 Samuel. The Israelites, they're fighting the Philistines, and the Philistines are just wearing them out. I mean, they are just getting beat after beat after beat, and Israel's just discouraged that they're hiding, right? They're hiding in caves, they're hiding under rocks, they're hiding in bushes. It's like there is no hope in Israel. The Israelites are getting it handed to them by the Philistines. So Jonathan, son of Saul, decides one day that something has to change, that something has to be done, because they're on the verge of giving up. They're overmanned, they're overmatched. So in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1, it says, one day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Jonathan, I don't know what it was that morning, but he woke up and he declared, enough is enough. These are my people and they are getting crushed by the enemy. I've had enough of this. It can't go on anymore. But Jonathan also realized, I can't do anything by myself. And so he turned to the kid that carries his armor and he said, hey, you, why don't you come with me? Let's go do something. Now, that kid was just kind of a servant of Jonathan's. I mean, Jonathan's son of the king. What's he going to say, right? He couldn't have said no. But he had to have been like, you know what? He could have picked anybody, and he picked me. And Jonathan told this kid, holding his armor, grab my stuff. You and I, we're going to go try to do something. And they got together, and they took off. Jonathan realized that day, that morning when he woke up, that if he was going to accomplish what God needed him to accomplish, he could not do it on his own. He had to have the right people with him. And the right person was the person who was right there at the right time. So why do we need right people in our lives? What was the purpose of Jonathan? Why couldn't he have gone? Why couldn't he just went and got his dad? I mean, why he could have pulled anybody? What was it about this guy that he felt was so right? Well, if you continue reading, verse 4, chapter 14 of 1 Samuel, says, on each side of the pass, this is they're already making their way, Jonathan, the guy that's holding his armor, his buddy, it says, on each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. So if you imagine, he's walking down this path and there's a cliff on either side. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez, the other Sinna. One cliff stood to the north, one stood to the south. Now, reading that, you just kind of like, well, okay, there was a cliff and he's going down a path. And he named these two, Bozez and Sinna. If you look at those two words and you go back to the original words of what they meant, Bozez means slippery. Sinna means thorny. Jonathan knew that if he was going to go forward, if he was going to take the Israelites and do what he needed to do to help defeat the Philistines, if he was going to go do this journey that he was going to be on, he was going to have to navigate slippery and thorny paths. And he realized from the beginning, if I'm going to go do what God has called me to do, I can't do this by myself. I need to have someone around me that's going to help me navigate these obstacles and these temptations as I go down this path. He recognized that. And I think about our own lives, even here at Re3, the times that we've needed to surround ourselves with the right people, because as we've been traveling, there has been thorny and slippery paths on both sides of us on this cliff. Some didn't make it. A lot of us have. You go down this path, and the only way you can navigate these obstacles and these temptations is if you have others with you that are the right people for the right reason. The second thing that we can learn as we're looking at this initially is not only do we need the right people to help us navigate these obstacles and temptations, we need the right people to help overcome our wavering faith. Because there's going to be times in our lives that our faith is going to be wavering. Even when we believe this is exactly where God has called us to go, there's going to be those moments where we stand on the edge and we're like, is this really right? Is this really where God wants me to go? And we're going to need those people behind us to say, you know what? If you go, I'm going to. And so we're all going to be in it together. Verse 6. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let us go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. What I love about that is you think, you read that initially and it looks like there's confidence there. Jonathan's saying, look, the Lord is with us. We can do this. We got this. But that one word that sticks out to me is perhaps. You know what perhaps means? Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but we're going to go for it, right? Because Jonathan knew, man, I've got God with me. We're doing this for the right reason. I've got the right person. I've got this armor bearer. Man, we're going to go for it. Perhaps God will save us. Perhaps God's going to do exactly what I think he's going to do. But you know what? If it doesn't happen, at least we're going for it. At least we're going in the direction God wants us to go. At least we can do that. Jonathan realized that he needed the right people in his life to help navigate the obstacles and the temptations of life, and he needed the right people there in case his faith got a little wavering. Because he didn't stop at perhaps. His perhaps didn't turn into a stop. His perhaps turned into, you know what? You and me, we got this. God's leading us here. We're going to do it. So who are the right people in your life? Who are the right people that you need in your life to be able to navigate the obstacles of life? Who are the right people in your life that you need when you feel like your faith is starting to waver? When you feel like you're questioning everything about life, is this the right direction? Should I take this job? Should I marry this person? Should I do this investment? Should I make this move? Whatever it may be. when everything is wavering, when there's obstacles in the way, who are the right people that you need in your life? First one is this. You need someone who will go all in with you. You need someone who will go all in with you. Listen to this, verse 7. Do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul. That armor bearer, if he was playing poker, he took all his chips and he pushed them to the middle and he said, I'm all in. Like, I am all in, heart and soul. Those are the types of people that we need in our life. People that can believe in us, that it's just not our dream, it's just not who we are. But those people who want to rally behind us and say, you know what? I'm all in. I believe that you can do this. Those people in your life, when you're praying for a miracle, they want to join you and they want to pray alongside of you. They don't just throw up that, oh, you know what? I'll be praying for you. No, it's I'm going to come pray with you. We're going to pray for a miracle together. Those times when we're lonely, when we're tempted, when someone walks out, those people who are going to be with us in those moments, those people in our lives who have our back, like that armor bearer. When I first decided I was leaving the church I was at previously, I'd made the announcement a couple months before I left, and everybody was like, well, what are you going to go do? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I didn't, really. And the Monday morning, I will never forget this, my last Sunday there, you know, they had a little luncheon or whatever, and that Monday morning I woke up. It was the first time since I was like 16 years old I didn't have a job. And I'm like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, thank God I have a sugar mama, right? I mean, that's what I was really thankful for in that moment. But I was just like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do now. And I started getting these texts and these emails from Susie Wells. And Susie would send me these little notes of encouragement. And she would always sign them RG. And I was like, what is RG? Like, I don't even have a clue what she's talking about. Like, maybe Kim's right. She has lost her mind. Like, I don't like what is going on? And so finally one day I was like, Susie, I was like, I love all the encouragement. I love the text. I love the emails. But what is RG? And she said, Mike, Isaiah 52, I am your rear guard. I've got your back. If I didn't have anybody else, I knew I had one that believed in me, that was like, hey, I'm with you, heart and soul, just like this armor bearer. I'm with you. I'm just going to go. You don't know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing, but we're going to do that really well together, right? We're just going to go do it. We need those people in our lives that want to be our rear guard, even if they don't know what the front looks like. They just want to go forward in life with us. People that will call out our potential. People that will believe in us. People that will battle for us. People that will encourage us. Those are the people that we need in our lives. Those are the right people. Not the ones who tear us down. Not the people that you go to and say, hey, you know what? I had this idea. And they immediately started poking holes in it. Get rid of those people, okay? Just let God sort them out. You need the people in your life that when you tell them a dream, they're like, yes, let's figure out how we're going to do this. And they want to invite themselves into your dream because they believe in you so much. We don't need the people in our lives that are tearing us down. We don't need the people in our lives who are poking holes in God's dreams in our hearts. We need those people who are our rear guard, who are those armor bearers, who say, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, I am with you, heart and soul. That is the right person in your life. The second kind of person that we need in our life, the people who will support us in the battles of life. The people who will support us in the battles of life. There's this incredible story in the book of Exodus chapter 17, and Joshua is leading the Israel army against the Amalekites, and they're in there, and they're fighting, and they're battling, and Moses is standing there, and you kind of envision him like standing on this hill or this cliff, and he's watching this battle take place, and in the story it says that when Moses raises his arms, Joshua and the Israelites are winning. And he's holding up his arms to heaven, and they're winning the battle. But then Moses starts to get tired, and his arms start to drop. And when his arms drop, the Amalekites start to win, and Joshua and the Israelites start to lose. And then he raises his hands again and they start to win, and it keeps kind of going back and forth. And Moses is just human. He's like, I can't do this all day and night. He had two people come up, Aaron and Hur, and they said, Moses, we got you. One took one arm and one took the other, and they held Moses' arms up so that his arms could stay raised during the battle of life. That is the kind of people that we need in our life. Because life will get tough. Life sometimes will be hell. Hell will break loose in your life. And the people that you need are the people who will stand there and lift your arms up when you can't do that on your own. Those are the kind of people we need. Not the kind of people that immediately say, well, you know what? You wouldn't be going through this if, and they start telling us all the reasons we screwed up or all the things we should have done differently. We don't need those people in our lives. We need the people to say, you know what, regardless of how we got to this situation, we are going to lift you up so that we can get through this battle together. Amen? Those are the people that we need in our lives. We need people who are all in. We need people who are willing to support us in the battles of life. And lastly, we need friends who are loyal in life forever. People who are loyal forever. There's a story in the book of Ruth, and Ruth had a husband, and she had a couple of sons, and just in the beginning, couple of verses of the book of Ruth, you read about this tragedy that happens. Her husband dies, her sons die, and all she's left with is this daughter-in-law, Naomi. Naomi had this husband, and her sons died. Ruth came in, and was going to pick her up. I want to read this to you. This is in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth says this. This is Ruth talking to Naomi. When all Naomi had left was Ruth, her daughter-in-law. This is what Ruth said to her. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates me from you. That is an incredible passage. A daughter-in-law speaking to her mother-in-law saying, look, I'm all in. I'm here for the battles, but you've got me for life. You've got me for life. In the last 7 years, I have seen relationships built here at Re3 that I know in my heart are lifelong relationships. Relationships of my own, relationships with yours, people I see together, and I look on social media, and you're parenting together, and you're traveling together, and all of these things. And I'm telling you, it's like a father. Like, I'm just so happy, right? I'm like, man, it is so great that they're living life together because you found the right people. You just have. In my own life, like I think back, next year will be 25 years in full-time ministry. And, you know, when I first started out, I was a youth pastor, as green could be. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And God surrounded me at the church I was at with the right people. And some of those right people are here today, which is incredible. John and Jennifer Henderson and Beth and I, before we used to vacation together before we had kids. Like, we would travel, we would do things together. It was such a fun time before kids. And so we would go, and now we take our kids and we talk about the good old days. But then we'd have that. And then I had like Jason and Crystal and you know, they were in my life, and they were like, I'm coming in as this youth pastor and didn't have a clue what I was doing. And they were like, we'll help you. And they would teach like my high school Sunday school class and help lead small groups. And they were there, and man, and like Joseph wasn't even around, and Cade was tiny, and Livy was tiny. It was just like this incredible time, and we formed a friendship. And then I left, and I just kind of moved on, you know, and they had their life, and I had mine, but we still kind of kept in touch, but we were just friends. And then I will never forget that day that they walked into River Landing to come to that worship service. And I was like totally shocked. I was like, whoa, guys, what are y'all doing? It's awesome to see y'all. And so at the end of the service, I was like, man, tell everybody back at such and such church I said hello. You know, I thought they were just there to visit. They were like, we don't go there anymore. They were like, we're looking for another church, and this is where we want to come. It's like, I was so happy, not just to put more bodies in the seats, but just because I had friends for life and they were back in mine and Beth's life again. And now to be able, like, I'm telling you, like, as a father and as a friend, like, my son, there is nobody else he would rather hang out with than their boys. And then, no, like, man, 20 years ago, that wasn't even on our radar. That is friends for life. Those are the type of, those are the right people that God puts in your life. That is what makes Re3 special, because those relationships have been forged. Those relationships are being forged. When you do the right things for the right reason with the right people, God shows up. And he has shown up here in a big way in the last 7 years. Bigger than I ever could have dreamed or hoped. Honestly, I just try to stay out of the way. I honestly mean that. Like, I do the least amount of work now than I've ever done in 25 years. Like, y'all know that, right? I just don't, right? But I feel like my job is just to, like, open the doors and allow God just to kind of come in and do what God does and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. And it doesn't have to be the Mike G show. That this is God's show, and he's doing it here at Re3. And he is doing some incredible things because there's the right people for the right reasons, and God is showing up. Amen? That is what makes us special. That is why 120 people can give away almost $1 million in missions. That is why we've done 30-some mission trips. That's why we've supported 75 different organizations in 7 years. It's not because of anything we're doing as individually. It's because of what we're doing collectively, because we are better together than we are apart. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for these past 7 years. Thank you so much for all that you've done, for the relationships, Lord, that you've brought back in my life, for the relationships that you've entered into my life for the first time that are just so strong right now. Lord, I thank you for the lives that I see changed, for the families that I see doing life together, working together, vacationing together, parenting together, just living life together. Lord, in my heart, I feel like this is the church in Acts that we were told that we could become. Lord, I thank you for this vision that you've given every person here. I thank you for the passion for life that you've given every person here. Man, it is such a blessing to be part of what you're doing at Project Re3. Thank you, Lord, for that blessing. Don't let us ever take it for granted. It's in your name we pray. Amen.